afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, March 6, 2019. Wait for it, ladies and gentlemen. Wait for it. Wait for it. Hello, Dave.
You know what day it is, Melody.
No, I said wait for it. Yes, wait for it. Yes.
Happy hump day, everybody.
Every time I see that commercial with the camel, I think I'm going to record that and have a little fun with it. But we have Wendy Wilson joining us today, Dave, for the first segment of the program today. But first, let's go ahead and do the market report. And again, gold is being a little bit of a staying right where it's at, 1287. 1287 for gold. Actually, it's closer to 1288, so we'll take it, 1288. Down just a couple pennies. Silver was down 5 cents today at 1515. Platinum is down 11 at 830, but palladium managed up 20 at $1,541. You know, Dave, someone asked me today that they were told that they should be buying palladium, and it's like palladium is at record highs. You don't buy at record highs. It could go higher. We don't know where it's going to go. It could go 2,000, but what are the fundamentals to push it there? So what you want to do is buy low and sell when it's high. To me, palladium is high. So, I mean, you can hold it until you see it, but I don't think I'd be buying into the market at this point in time. I think there's a lot of other things like gold, silver, and platinum that are much lower, where the fundamentals there are stronger, and we know where they're going. You know, they've got a lot of room to rise. Where palladium, that's a big question. So be careful of those folks out there telling you to buy palladium. The USDX today was up a penny at 96.85. Crude oil was down 35 cents at 56.21. Stock markets today, oh, heck, there went my happens every day. Let's get the Dow was down 133 points, 25,673. The NASDAQ was down 70, 7505. The S&P was down 18, 2771. 10-year yield dropped 0.03 at 2.69. And a lot of interesting news. We'll be talking about that in the second and third segment today. But first, we're joined with Wendy Wilson, with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. We're going to be talking about some critical differences and when it's involving your immune system today, because science intends to get this improve on the influenza vaccines. And you probably haven't heard this, but the scientists at the University of Melbourne in Australia at Daughtry Institute, they turned actually to the human immune system to get ideas for a new way to improve on flu vaccines. And their research has been patented, so it would appear that medical science intends to go through with what they're going to do, and that is to add an artificial immune system to your influenza vaccines. And you're probably saying, well, how are they going to do that? Well, natural elements can't qualify for a patent, so whatever they're going to be adding is going to be artificial. So the scientists and the medical communities keep telling the public that, you know, your vaccines don't harbor any life-threatening disease in them because they're either a weak version of the disease or a dead pathogen. And we also are told that science has identified the safe amount of the disease in which they include in a vaccine to offer varied controlled ways for the immune system to propagate an antibody for protection. But the problem with that scenario is many infectious disease experts have already written papers that do state the immune system does not engage dead pathogens because that is what the pathogen becomes when it's neutralized by your immune system. Therefore, no antibody is created at all. Also, virologists have likewise written papers that show the human immune system operates in a very distinct way and that the antibodies are created under temperature-specific conditions when there's a body temperature of 101.3 degrees Fahrenheit. So in other words, in order to have an antibody, you have to have a fever. And according to Dr. Chen, the fever is required to unblock a mechanism for the antibody to be produced and then released, and it's also required for shutting it off. Here is what Dr. Janfen Chen, he's with Shanghai Institute Biochemistry and Cell Biology, he says, when the pathway is blocked, the mechanism is very temperature specific, and it only is induced at a temperature of 101.3 degrees Fahrenheit. This explains why a fever mechanism is targeted and effective and also reversible. Now, here is a quote also from Dr. Paul Offit. You've heard this guy say that a child could take 1,000 vaccines all at one time and be perfectly safe. He is the chief infectious disease director at the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And he says, vaccines are engineered to carry weakened or deactivated pathogens, and consequently, there are critical differences between natural infection and immunization. This is true. I can't disagree with that, but he doesn't explain what those differences are. Now, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia says this, immunity from disease often follows a single natural infection. Immunity from vaccine usually occurs only after several doses. However, the difference between vaccination and natural infection is the price paid for immunity. And you got to ask, what do they mean by that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, many within science have admitted they really don't know enough about our human immune system due to its complex nature. So using vaccines to supposedly force immune system responses is really irresponsible if they don't know enough about what's going on. Now, in September 2016, the U.S. National Library of Medicine and National Institutes of Health said this, the immune system is a network of specialized cell types and tissues that communicate through cytokines, which are combined substances that get secreted by your immune system cells, after which they affect other cells. So a lot of times they use those chemicals to identify pathogens. And also they can also identify pathogens with direct contact. And they say this is all orchestrated with specific types of defense responses. So the immune system's not some cut and dry thing. It's very sophisticated. They also go on to say, until recently, we could only study the immune system and its response in a piecemeal fashion regarding antibodies and pathogens. But advances in technology have helped in our understanding of some of the components of the immune system. And the immune system is very vast in its ability to use innate, adaptive, and other cells it produces, and how a comprehensive effect in the blood system is still largely unknown. So I have to ask myself, well, what are they doing injecting us with all this stuff if they don't understand immune system? Right?
You're absolutely correct.
Well, science.
You know, it's just amazing, though. I mean, why would anybody want to inject themselves trying to change, your system?
Well, remember you asked me a while back on the polio-like disease that was very strange going around the country. I think it was in the fall. And I said it was because they tweaked the virus vaccines and they're creating this problem. A lot of times when you have contaminated viruses with other diseases to initiate a massive immune response by the immune system, you can get in these DNA vaccines, you can get responses that you weren't counting on. Now you see in the news that they just discovered, and it was in the Journal of Clinical Microbiology, that all these outbreaks of measles was created by the MMR vaccine. Scientists published that, but you're not hearing about it in the news, okay?
Why was it just limited to that one section, mainly? Washington and Oregon.
People aren't supposed to know this, but the pharmaceutical companies make different versions of the vaccines and different formulations, and they disperse them in different areas for testing. They're not all the same. That's why certain areas of the country back in the 50s and 60s had those monkey cells, and those people later came down with cancer. Some of those serums didn't get to other states, and that's why the people didn't have the problem. Okay? So they do this a lot. They test their versions on different areas of the country and actually the world. So, science is really stating that the immune system has a lot of working parts. They have not figured them all out yet, but they are working on a hypothesis, which is an educated guess, and they're just injecting people with treatments, testing things on their guesses. And as they discover more, they're going to make all these announcements. There's this breakthrough treatment, and it's going to revolutionize vaccine industry. But in their arrogance, they state they intend to make the immune system function better than when it was created, okay? Here's another quote from the U.S. Library of Medicine. They say, these are exciting times in human immunology and vaccine work where we are able to produce data and unprecedented scans in depth spanning much but not all of the immune system. We are aware we need more global perspective on the complex molecule cellular events that occur during an immune system response. End of quote. So they really... you know, they're working on pieces of information, and they really have no clue what the full operation of the immune system is. So what they do when they interfere, you know, it's creating consequences for a lot of people.
Amazing.
Well, I just read today that Japan has banned the papillomavirus vaccine, the HPV. It was an upsetting report for me to read, where a Dr. Lee found in the vaccine itself that Gardasil sent, this is Merck Pharmaceuticals, it's the vaccine Gardasil, he says there's gene DNA fragments in there, but he says what was really shocking was there was a non-B confirmation of an unknown toxicity included in the vaccine, which he thinks is why these girls are experiencing all these problems. He says several of their Japanese youth women have taken the vaccine, gone to bed, and died in their sleep.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's a quote from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Here's arrogance for you. Vaccines induce a better immune response than natural infection. Well, how can they say that when they admit they don't know enough about the immune system? How would they know? Right?
Right.
Well, let me just say this. There's the next generation of vaccine technology because the scientists at the University of Melbourne, Australia, at the Dastri Institute, they're going to include an immune system in the flu vaccine. So making flu shots better than ever before is what they're stating. So according to their report, the human immune system makes what are called killer T cells. Now, these are macrophage cells. These are made of white blood cells your immune system uses to kill or neutralize infection. And so they say every normal immune system makes these cells. And they are made from your white blood cells, and they attack the infection. And the Australian scientists intend to add their own killer T cells to the influenza vaccines. So we're told that they think this will create what they refer to as a universal influenza vaccine. So it really won't matter if they got the correct strain of the flu bug to fight the flu that season or not, because the killer T cells will adapt to destroy the viral infection that's circulating in any given year. And I say to myself, well, what's wrong with my natural killer T cells doing that? Right?
Absolutely.
Well, then I got that.
But I mean, those flu shots, I mean, the flu vaccines, I mean, they're made in a year advance anyway. They're made in,
right. Well, they're just
based on last year's strains.
Yeah. Well, they're just projecting, I guess, what strains will be circulating. But, you know, what could possibly go wrong with artificial killer T cells, right? I had to ask myself, here's some questions. Where will the immune killer T cells come from? Are they going to harvest them from humans? But I don't think that's plausible. Therefore, would they make them synthetically or from stem cells and mass produce them? What could go wrong with artificial killer T cells circulating around your body and your blood system? I say plenty. Number two question, will science have to use exclusively dead forms of the virus in the vaccine if they're going to add the killer T cells? Because the dead cells would not stimulate the immune system response from the killer T cells. But if they use live cell viruses, will the artificial killer T cells destroy the flu virus in the vaccine? All good questions. And if that were the case, are in the artificial, for the artificial killer T cells not to destroy the influenza virus in the vaccine, would they have to add a chemical to camouflage the virus? And if they did that, that would suggest the real purpose of the vaccine is to install artificial killer T cells. Number three question, will the artificial killer T cells be able to function normally with organic, your own killer T cells? Will they interfere with the organic T cells you make, or will they confuse your immune system and cause another form of autoimmune disease?
I would think that's very plausible, that one.
Yeah. Number four, since science has described the immune system as a very complex system and it's communicating to the cells through cytokines, how will the artificial killer T cells be guided? Will the human immune system know the artificial killer T cells are foreign? After all, vaccines are artificial infections, and how will the immune system react to what is essentially rogue killer T cells circulating in your blood system? Kind of sounds like a principle recipe for immune system confusion and even damage. And I'm running out of time, so let me read this to you. More research is important because, to date, understanding the mechanisms that turn immune cells on and off have not been very well understood. Science Daily, February 2008. They go on to say, in molecule biology, the killer T cells help activate B lymphocytes to secrete antibodies to destroy microbes. Without healthy killer T cells, we cannot defend ourselves even against microbes that are considered harmless. Killer T cells can only function when activated by an infection. There has to be two signals of activation that are provided by the immune system, dendrite cells. And these cells are innate and they cannot be programmed. So my question again is, why artificial killer T cells in a flu vaccine? They're not going to be able to guide it. The immune system won't recognize it.
So what's your...
For some reason, I don't know if they'll be able to program the killer T cells artificially somehow with a protein coding or whatever. But I just know when you start messing with God's copyright, it's not going to be a good thing. It's not. We already know vaccines are not a good thing. So putting killer T cells that are artificially created by in the lab into your system, I think it's going to create immune system confusion. I think it's going to undermine immune systems. I really do.
And is it limited right now to the flu vaccine?
Right. Yeah, right now to flu vaccine. So I say beware of scientists with killer T cells. You know, just keep your immune system healthy and strong. It'll do
give us
its
your
own
contact.
Job. Oh, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you next week. 866-229-3663. Ladies and gentlemen, give her a call. You're listening to Financial Survival. We'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen. Happy hump day, Dave!
Yeah, Melody. It's true. We're halfway from the beginning, halfway to the weekend. The alpha and the mega and whatever's in between.
Well, you know, the Commerce Department today, this is in between, reported this morning that, yes, the U.S. trade deficit ballooned in December to a 10-year high, almost $60 billion, $59.8. And economists surveyed by Reuters have been looking for an increase to 57 to 50 from November's 50. And I guess we beat that. The expansion came as a result of a 2.1% increase in imports. Exports fell 1.9%. And, of course, slowing global growth is causing a reduction in demand for U.S. goods, while a stronger dollar is also working against the trade balance. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Kudlow, keep that strong dollar going for the entire year. Yeah, I know. He's just
Larry. Well, good luck with that. You know, it was the largest trade gap since 2008. We know that the White House has targeted China with tariffs in an effort mainly to stop the theft of intellectual property, as we talked about earlier in the week. The goods deficit came to $891 billion for all of 2018. That's the highest on record. The trade deficit with China in December was almost $39 billion, by far the most with any nation. The next highest was the EU with roughly $16 billion, and Mexico at just about $9 billion. Adjusted for inflation, the goods trade deficit rose about $10 billion to a record $92 billion in December, and likely will weigh in on the final 2018 GDP calculations that we'll learn more about at the end of March.
You know, today the ADP came out and released their numbers for the job creation, and they show that there was 183,000 jobs added for the month, February. And it's kind of in line with what Dow Jones estimates of 185,000. The number has marked a deceleration. It did come with some good news. ADP and Moody's sharply increased their count for January, raising the original reported number of 213 all the way up to 300. I can't remember what government's number was for January, Dave. It wasn't over 300, though.
No.
I think it was 280 something, wasn't it, maybe?
Yeah, that's what's jumping out at me. I don't recall either, I'm
270,
afraid.
280, but so, you know, we'll see how this goes, and we'll see what Friday's report is, but...
Yeah, I think the main takeaway from this is that, you know, this decline could indicate that the jobs market has peaked. You know, Mark Zandi at Moody's Analytics believes job growth is, you know, are still strong, but that they've likely seen their high point for this expansion. You know, the report comes amidst, you know, serious job creation in an economy that was expected to be slowing but continues to crank out new employment opportunities. Monthly non-farm payroll gains have averaged 240,000 over the past 3 months. That's the fastest pace in 3 years, almost. You know, on the private payroll side, the report showed the biggest gains coming from professional and business services, with 49,000 new hires, with education and health services not too far behind at 39,000. Companies that employ 50 to 499 employees added the most with 95,000, while large businesses hired 77,000. Small businesses, on the other end, increased by just 12,000, Melody.
Well, you know, these companies, again, these corporations, they're beginning to complain about rising wages and the potential impact on corporate profits. So history has shown that higher pay doesn't squeeze companies' profits. Profits have rebounded from recessions low and are at the highest level in at least a half a century. And we all know wages haven't kept pace. Wages have been surprisingly sluggish through the 9-year recovery and finally started growing above 3% toward the end of last year. And you know, I'll argue that all day long, but these are the numbers from you know, what they give us. Labor share of domestic income has barely recovered in this expansion from the lows last seen when the U.S. was pulling out of the depression, of the Great Depression. So meanwhile, business profits, they've skyrocketed 12% of GDP in the 80s to more than 20% now, Dave.
Yeah, I've got a chuckle. Melody, you know, it's comments like you stated at the very beginning of this news story that companies are complaining about rising wages that doesn't give, or at least gives me pause for concern about how they're going to treat the rise of robots in the workplace. You know, I can see the debate on both sides of the issue with respect to, you know, increasing hourly rates, the increase of the minimum wage, for example. But when it goes to the point where, you know, companies are complaining about rising wages per se and their impact on corporate profits, which have been at all-time highs for how many years, you know, what's to prevent, you know, these particularly large companies from saying in the future, well, you know, hey, you know, we don't have to worry about these wages anymore. Let's just take an upfront hit on the balance sheet, you know, with, you know, an investment in robotics. We'll get rid of all the humans and we'll take away all this pressure on future profits. Our shareholders will, will rejoice. Wow.
And I believe that's exactly what we're beginning to experience. I talked about this yesterday, exactly what you're saying. Pepsi, making profit, restructuring. Why? What are they going to, you know, define restructure? I believe they're going to be closing plants. They're going to retool. They're going to bring in more technology, more robots, eliminate the pension plans, eliminate and quit worrying about the increase in, look at healthcare. It's not going down, ladies and gentlemen. Keeping employees, the expense is not going down. So why wouldn't they do this? Why wouldn't they take these huge hits? Pepsi is paying millions and millions of dollars in severance pays. In severance pay. Why? They're making great profits. And that's why I agree with you, Dave. I think that's exactly what they're doing. They're going to eliminate the human. Bring in this technology. It's here. It's now. And you're right. Shareholders will pat them all on the back.
Yeah, let's hope, our suspicions are wrong, but...
Well, they're not wrong, though. That's the sad thing. They're not wrong. And what are you going to do about it? I mean, we all know government is not addressing the issue of all these unemployed people coming due to technology and robotics. You know, training. I saw where Ivanka's out, you know, encouraging businesses to retrain. It's not going to work. You know, it's not going to work. You're going to have a massive amount of people unemployed that won't be able to find jobs. And I think this is what they're doing. It might not all happen overnight, but I think this is going to be a new trend.
Well, at least we can say, Melody, at least we can say our privacy is intact, right?
Sure. And I have a bridge, and I have a bridge.
To somewhere?
Yeah.
Is that an adequate segue to cell phone numbers or the new Social Security
sure.
numbers?
Absolutely. But yeah, cell phone numbers have been a primary way for tech companies like Facebook to uniquely identify users and secure accounts. And in some ways, it's becoming a proxy for a national ID. That over-reliance on cell phone numbers, ironically, makes them a less effective and secure authentication method. And the more valuable the phone number becomes as an identifier, the less willing people will be to share it for communication. That's really interesting because, you know, it is fascinating. People just ask you anymore. When was the last time you're asked for your Social Security number? People just ask for your cell number and they get all the data on you.
Yeah.
And it's that over-reliance on cell phone numbers, you know, it's kind of interesting and frightening.
Facebook is in the deep doo-doo again this week for that very reason. You know, their users, you know, are asked to provide their cell phone numbers, a phone number, you know, the purpose of, you know, Facebook's two-factor authentication process known as 2FA. Not just Facebook, but we're talking about them. That's where, you know, a person's login is protected by both a password and a device like their smartphone. You know, some users found Facebook had enabled people to connect their profiles and phone numbers, transforming 2FA from a way to protect personal security into a personal privacy breach. Just added on top of all the other privacy-related problems that Facebook and the social media big brothers have been, reaping onto humankind. Social Security numbers were created to track workers' contributions to retirement benefits, but, you know, obviously, if, you know, being used now by, you know, the IRS, the healthcare system, and the like. You know, we hate to type our Social Security numbers online, and, you know, someone calls you and asks for it, even the last four digits. I mean, be very, very wary and even more careful about even giving out the last four because it's an entryway into your personhood and all of the information that goes with it. You know, the internet lacks its own identity system. Email addresses, you know, used to be the type of information that was asked of us. Each address is unique, and once verified, it's useful for receiving information intended only for you. But is it?
And now, you know, and it's true. I mean, you can just switch very quickly to a new email. The email is an insecure system. It's ridden with spam. And once the addresses become essentially free, it became easy for one person to use many accounts or quickly, as I said, switch to new ones. So the cell phone numbers are becoming America's latest quasi-identity system. Once Congress mandated that you could take your phone number from one provider to another, the U.S. ended up with a de facto cell phone number for life system. You can switch, of course, but it means changing how your whole social network connects with you. Since so many of us carry a phone at all times and use it as a wallet and a diary, it's natural for it to be treated like a set of keys as well. So the more people use phone numbers to unlock things, the less wily they'll want to share them, which makes them less useful for connecting people.
Oh, Melody.
Huh?
No, I was just going to say thank you so much, 800-375-4188.
Well, you know, what's interesting, though, is what? If you remember, I mean, it was during the Great Recession, 2008, after that, it was a goal that the Obama administration, there was free phones given away.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, again, this isn't just happenstance. Free phones were given away. They wanted everyone to have a cell phone. They wanted everyone at first to have a PC. Then they wanted everyone to have a cell phone. So you kind of ask yourself, they're going to get you coming or going no matter what. So,
well, they got us too.
Yeah.
It looks as though they've got Family Dollar stores too.
Yeah, this is amazing. The discount retailer Dollar Tree plans to close 390 Family Dollar stores this year. They're going to renovate 1,000 other locations. They're confident that they are taking the appropriate steps to reposition their Family Dollar brand for increasing profitability. And as business initiatives gain traction in the back half of fiscal 2019, and that is from the CEO, Gary Philbin, its renovated Family Dollar locations will sell alcohol. Really?
There you go.
And include a $1 Dollar Tree merchandise section. So you can buy booze for a buck.
Just what we need.
Discount
alcohol store.
Discount alcohol store. Well, you know, in a depression.
Yeah, what the heck, you know. Soft taco shells and a six of Bud. Things are looking up, ladies and gentlemen.
About 400 stores are going to get the expanded freezer and cooler sections, and it'll also rebrand about 200 Family Dollar stores to the Dollar Tree. It had 7,001 Dollar Tree locations and 8,200 Family Dollar stores as of early February. So, kind of interesting.
Mm.
But I saw this also. We can talk about it when we come back from break. We can get into it now. We all know that workers can lose everything when their employer files for bankruptcy. There's a pro-labor movement sparked by the employees of Toys R Us and taken up by Sears Holdings Corporation that has actually reached Congress. Representative Tim Ryan of Ohio says he plans to reintroduce legislation that would define worker claims in bankruptcy as administration expenses, meaning they'd be paid in full. So it makes them just like the investment banker or the consultants or the lawyers or the liquidators who earn millions of dollars dismantling dying companies.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, so we'll see. The bill would prioritize pension claims for fired workers when the companies go under. So, and we're going not under, but we're going into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And I am running a special today, Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. The price on those are $1,425. If you purchase two or more, we will include shipping on that. And the reason it's a great deal is because it's only, what, $80 over a gold bullion coin. If you purchased an ounce of American Gold Eagle, you'd go from an American Gold Eagle all the way from a Mint State 60, 61, 62, 63, 64 for $80. And I went back. You heard me reference this price sheet from 2009. It's a great little reference chart. And I just pulled it at random when I did look at it. And the Mint State 64, $20 St. Gaudens in December 7th, 2009, spot gold was $1,142, and they were selling for over $2,000. They were actually, let's see, how many hundreds? Let's see, 1605. They're actually $500 more at that point in time than a Mint State 61. And today, wow. So. A tremendous,
good deal.
Tremendous buy. Buy low. That's why we talk about palladium. We know that's high. We know this is low. 1-800-375-4188. Mint State 64, St. Gaudens, $20 gold pieces, $1,425. Before we get into the brevity is golden, Dave, I want to talk about this because I do think it's important. And this is death by suicide, drugs, and alcohol is up sharply. And we know yesterday President Trump signed an executive order to investigate. I don't think anything's being, but to at least investigate the high rate of suicide by veterans. And so in 2017, more than 151,000 Americans died of suicide or causes related to drugs or alcohol. This is the highest rate in U.S. history. Since 1999, the overall rate of suicide from all causes have grown by 36%. The rate of death caused by drugs more than tripled, while the death rate caused by alcohol increased by 57%. The study projects that the three epidemics are on track to kill 1.6 million Americans by 2025, and this would represent a 60% increase over current levels. And I think these numbers will be significantly higher than what they're predicting, only because I don't know if they're taking into effect the legalization of marijuana in these in a lot of these states. And I do think that will have a bigger impact on some of these numbers. We've seen life expectancy has already fallen in the United States 3 years in a row, largely due to these trends. And while the global average life expectancy continues to rise.
Yeah, it's sad. My family has been hit three times by suicide. It's not a happy thing. And, you know, 7.7 million or 2.9% of Americans have a drug use disorder. An estimated 15.7 million or 5.9% have an alcohol-related disorder. Montana is the highest rate in, of suicide in 2017 anyway, at just under 30 deaths per 100,000. West Virginia.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. West Virginia, which was, has been hit hard by the opioid crisis, had the highest rate of drug-related deaths at 56.3 of every 100,000. That's nearly astounding.
Wow.
And New Mexico had the highest alcohol-related death rate of 31.6 out of every 100,000. The drug and suicide epidemics have hit rural America hardest. At the same time that blue-collar jobs are disappearing and technology and automation is transforming the workforce. Healthcare spending for individuals with drug and alcohol problems, Melody, and who are at risk for suicide approaches $250 billion a year. That was in 2015, and that represents 9.5% of all healthcare expenditures in the U.S. that year. Wow.
That's incredible. $250 billion.
We've got to do a better job of prevention.
Yeah, but you know what? The problem is, Dave, on some of these, they go see counselors, they get on medication. A lot of this medication is part of the problem. So, it's really like a double-edged sword to some degree. It's like, I'm not talking about drugs. We can certainly do a lot there. But legalizing marijuana, because everybody knows, or everybody thinks they know, that that's the, it's the getting your foot in the drawer to bigger drugs, the opioid. No one's held accountable for it.
Well, we're finally starting to see some big pharma anyway on the verge of being held accountable. Certainly not enough, and not soon enough. But we know that Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, which is along with fentanyl, the two highest forms of abused opioids after heroin, it looks as though, because of all the lawsuits across the country, that that company may be looking to file bankruptcy, and to see someone like that run out of business, it just can't happen too soon, in my humble opinion.
No, and but does anybody take up after, take up their...
Well, that's a good question.
Because there's a lot of money there.
They aren't the lone supplier, and there's something called synthetic fentanyl, for example, that is wildly, highly addictive, wildly fatal when taken in even, a minimal dose level over, its suggested dosage.
Is fentanyl considered opioid?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and it's particularly the synthetic fentanyl, a lot of which comes from China, some from Mexico, is mixed, often mixed with, crappy heroin. And, fentanyl is, I forget the multiplier, but it's several times more potent than, typical street heroin. And that's what's killing people. They're not, their heart, their bodies just aren't prepared for that level of shock that they get with a higher than expected dose.
And the sad thing about this, because these opioids are so addictive so quickly, people go in for a knee replacement. And I don't mean to laugh, but people go in for a knee replacement. They get put on this medication for the pain. This might be a little over-exaggerated, but then the next thing you know, they're addicted.
Full disclosure, Melody. After back surgery in 2007, my neurosurgeon had me on OxyContin, a moderate dose, certainly not even among the higher doses. Within a month, as he had me go cold turkey, I was having leg shakes. The leg shakes turned into body shakes. I was soon back at a pharmacologist who put me on some other synthetic medications to help wean me off the OxyContin. It took 3 years. 3 years
Good
for the
grief.
leg shakes for the leg shakes to end. And that's just after, I think, a total of maybe two and a half months on that drug. It's a powerful drug, even for, you know, the less addictive, perhaps, among us.
And that's the sad thing. It's not just what we visualize a drug addict who's, you know, shooting up heroin and then graduates to this. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's like Dave. It's people just going in for routine surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing an interview on these opioids, and it might have been that pharmaceutical company that you mentioned. They pushed this stuff to doctors as saying that it was not addictive. This was the greatest thing since popcorn, that you could take this medication and the people would not get addicted to it.
Pop a kernel, pop a pill.
And sadly, and that's what I mean, it's just like there's just not enough people. You know, people ask me, how can we change anything in this country? I think the biggest thing that we could change, from immigration to just about any of our problems, might not fix them, but it would improve them, is holding people accountable. When does that happen? It doesn't happen. If they make bad decisions in their job or whatever it might be,
they get a bonus.
They get bonuses. You're right.
You know, 55,000 people may have, died from overdoses, but gosh darn it, profits were up, you know.
Yes. Hold these people accountable, from immigration to, I mean, I could slew off with several things. And yet, so.
The Great Recession is among the biggest examples, the best and the worst.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
When it comes
we rewarded them.
Accountability.
Yeah. Yeah, we rewarded these people for bringing you to your feet and to your knees, worried about what your hard-earned money was going to do, your savings, and how many people were wiped out. People were wiped out. Not everybody recovered from the increase in the stock markets. Not everyone. People lost a lot. Those people who lost their homes. And yeah, we could say, yeah, well, you know, they were over, you know, they overspent and they did this and they did that, you know, but really, you know, half of them shouldn't have gotten loans. You know, yes, they lied. But if the company, but you went into these companies, you know, to get your mortgage and so forth, if you had a breath, they'd give you the loan. So,
yeah, in some cases, they didn't have to lie.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and we talk about, I don't even know, I didn't get a chance to see what you're going to, what about company reputation rankings? Is that what the Brevity is golden about this week?
Well, it is indeed, Melody. You know, for 20 years, the polling firm Harris has been measuring the reputations of the most high-profile American companies. This year, for the first time, people mentioned the U.S. government as a company that they think about. And guess what? No surprise.
Are you kidding?
They
mentioned government as a company? Well, we all know it's a corporation, so I guess no surprise there.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a corporate-like, a business-like entity, my guess is how it, you know, came up in the context of. But, you know, the fact that people would bring it up unprompted and then give it the lowest score of the 100 companies on the list, suggests that Americans aren't just unimpressed with their government. They think it's a toxic waste dump.
That is true.
Now, the biggest surprise of this year's Axios Harris Poll 100, that's a new partnership between Axios and Harris Poll, the U.S. government was near the bottom in all of the categories the poll uses to calculate their score, especially on ethics, trust, culture, vision, and citizenship. You know, no partisan divide on this one. Republicans ranked the government 95 out of 100 companies. Democrats ranked it number 98. Independents put it dead last. You know, it's not any one disaster that caused this. It's the endless barrage of bad political news from, you know, the Russian investigation, the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, the fight over the border wall. The CEO of Harris said people are just fed up with the shutdowns, the subpoenas, you know, it comes out as one perpetual negative news cycle that really drives down your reputation. And it looks like it's affecting all three branches of government, not just Congress, but the executive branch, you know, with all the investigations, the judiciary, with the Kavanaugh hearings. You know, it's just crazy. Anyway, there's bad news for actual companies, too. Facebook's ranking took a big hit. So did Tesla. Twitter showed up on the list for the first time, and it's near the bottom. You know, the top five, on the other hand, Melody, were rated high on qualities like vision, growth, trajectory, character, and ethics. Rounding out the bottom five with the government and actually the Trump Organization, as it turns out, was my least favorite bank, Wells Fargo, Sears, and Philip Morris. The bottom line, the U.S. government has a worse reputation than a bank with a fake account scandal, a failing retail chain, and a tobacco company. It's going to take years to recover from that. Just real quickly, as we're almost out of time, countdown of the top 10 companies is chosen by consumers in this poll. Number 10, Sony. Then Microsoft, Procter & Gamble. Number 7, Samsung. Publix, the grocery store chain. Disney, L.L. Bean, Patagonia. 2, Amazon, which surprises me. And number 1, sort of upscale grocery store, Wegmans.
And I do like Wegmans.
Wegmans is awesome.
And all the ones that are in that list, I'd probably have to put Wegmans as number 1 also.
I like Wegmans.
I put all the other ones down below on the bottom of the list.
Yes,
but Wegmans, yeah. And I would put Discount Gold and Silver at the number 1.
Ding 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 ding.
800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.